I just want to take a short minute to tell you what is going on here today is that we're going to get impacted and escalated by everything the Lord has done with our youth. And I want to tell you that from the very beginning of this church, God has talked about the impact upon from the generations. And now we're going to get to see that. But I want to thank Steve and Janice for investing. And I want to thank them for taking the time to care about each one of these kids and to know that they were worth it. And when and the Lord laid it on my heart that they were going to help with youth, which so many people have helped with the youth before, and I thank all you. I'm not forgetting what you paid in the past, but I said, I'm going to train you, and they came, and we laid hands on them, and God switched them from super kids to youth right away, and the anointing was so thick, and they got the heart for the kids. How many of you are so thankful that they have the heart for your children, right? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And so, and Mariela and John T. have poured into the kids as well and came alongside and went on the trip and so many others that have helped. But I wanted to take the time to thank all of you at Liberty, too, because I don't know any other church. I seriously do not know any other church that invests in kids like we do. And so we had more than enough for the trip. You guys have been generous and giving, and I wanted to take the time to thank you all. You are amazing, and now you get to see the reward of your investment. And so, uh-oh.
No. So when I went into this meeting for the ramp, I thought I was going to get nothing out of it. And like, it was, I didn't think I was going to get like anything. Like, I thought it was just going to be like I do at normal church, when I just sit in the back and I just listen. And I'm like, oh, and then people ask me what I got out of it. And I'm like, I wasn't really listening. I was just kind of sitting there. So this time I was going in there, I was like, what's going to be this? Like, when and I saw the videos, and I thought that it was going to be a little more better, but just like normal, like I might get something better out of it. And then I finally got into the ramp, and it started to get crazy. And they started to jump, and I was like, I don't do that. So I just kind of stood up the whole time. And then in the end game, when it started to get to like the last few nights, I was kind of the same. When in the last night, I remember they said something, and it hit me. It hit me real hard. So then I normally don't go up to the altar much, like not at all. So I went up, they were calling people to the altar, and I was like, I don't want to go. But then God told me, go, you're going to get something special out of this. Go up to the altar and you'll find what I have been trying to tell you the whole time. So I went up to the altar, and after that night, it was crazy. And I finally felt God. And it's going to help me so much going into my seventh grade year. It's going to help me not getting in trouble and how to handle situations and not get angry at people. I feel like it helps so much with every problem. It's like you're just going up there and like it's like a baptizing, but like not baptizing. So it's like you go up to the altar and it's like all your sins get washed away. Like they just get like they like fly away. Like, and I think it helps so much for people when they go up to the altar.
Choir left. Anthony was our youngest one in the trip, and he's actually in LA right now, so we're glad that he did that for us. But isn't that awesome? Oh, are you the youngest one? Oh, look at that. Well, our next youngest is coming up now, Gavin. The pastor's grandson wants the pulpit. Just saying.
Hello. Is it on? It's green. Oh, yeah. So I walked in the bus like Anthony was, and he, like, okay, I'm just going to do this. It'll be fun. And then on the first night, the very first night, the head of ministry came up and said this verse. And it hit me, and I was like, oh, wrong place to not be feeling anything. So I guess I'm going to read it out. Let's find it. When a strong man fully armed guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger then attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which trusted and divides his spoil. When whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather me will be. Who does not gather with me scatters. I struggle. And I'm going to do an example and like get in depth with it, because it just sounds like a lot of mumbling, because it is for me, from me. So can I get my volunteers? Yeah. Okay. So this is our treasure, or you. All. Yeah. And this is just you, doing fine. And then here's the big strong man coming to guard his treasure. He's guarding it. It's his. Okay. And he guards it like it's his own. And he guards it a lot. And he doesn't let it move. And then a big, stronger man comes on, and he throws him out the way. And he takes his treasure. God will come and save you from even the strongest of enemies.
One, two, one, two. That's what's up, man. Listen. You guys get that, right? Okay, I'm going to tell you something. I've been a Christian for a long time. Some of you guys know my story. I backslid and stuff like that. But a long time I've been in the Word. I never understood that scripture. I never understood, especially in the context, when you read everything that surrounds that particular three lines, if you will, three or four lines. It's like it didn't make sense to me. But we go in there, you got to understand, we come in disheveled. We had a breakdown on the road, we'll tell you about it later. And so we got there like an hour late. So it was like when AB says it was crazy, we walked into craziness. I mean, it was just... like, you know, you had to catch your breath, right? And so just when we were getting settled, trying to press in, she walks up and she gives this testimony. And she comes with her Bible, and she has this messed up looking Bible, all scrumpled up. But she gets it, and she just starts talking about it. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, revelation. And when we broke out into testimony, the first person that said, like, that right there got me. In the very beginning, I understood my relationship with God in that moment with that description, because she did it. She did the whole enactment, the whole thing. It was like, yes. So I'm just telling you this, and this is why I'm telling you this. This is why I'm sharing this, because I'm an old man, and I'm telling you, after so many years, I just learned something, right? I don't know why you came here today. I have absolutely no idea or no understanding of why you are here. There's a scripture where Jesus was talking about John the Baptist in Luke chapter 7. And he said, why did you go out there and watch John the Baptist go out there in the desert and watch it? You know, because, you know, John the Baptist was a disgusting looking guy, right? He had, you know, like grasshoppers in his beard, right? I mean, he didn't look very good, but yet you left your city to go watch this guy. Why? Was it for a sideshow? Is that what you went there for? And so I'm asking you, why did you come here? To see a bunch of kids give you a sideshow? Because that's not what we're here for. We're here to point you towards God, period. And whoever speaks today, whoever utters a word, I promise you, is for the purpose of changing your life, period. So listen to everything that we say in that vein, in that mode of like, how can I receive from this person? Because that's what they're here for. Because they left... they got touched, and we'll give you testimony after testimony how they got touched, but they got touched. So now the question is, they've been touched. Are you going to leave here touched today? Amen? Okay, I'm not upset, by the way. I'm just passionate. This is, you know, you guys know me. This is how I get down and dirty. So listen, Janice, come up here, please. This is my better half. And we're going to be just navigating and ushering people in and out, and we'll get out of the way. At the end, we'll tie it all together for you. But there's like three kids or four that weren't able to make it tonight. And so we got AB up there. We're going to get Lauren up there a little later. But there's a couple of testimonies that I would like, that we didn't get videos on, that I would like Janice to share. Well, Janice is going to share one, and Mariel is going to share another. And then we'll keep it rolling, okay? So, you got this? Okay.
My mic on? Hello, hello.
Wire right. There we are. Okay, so I'm going to share with you Landon's testimony. Yes. And I want to start by telling you that the weekend before we went out of town, we had a local conference that we went to that was called Dream City. We've gone to it before. It was right here in Cooper City. It was wonderful. Most of these guys were there. It was awesome. And it really helped set up our hearts even more to go to the ramp, right? And Landon was with us. So I'm going to share his testimony there. I hope that's okay, Landon. I love you. I'm sorry you're not here today. Oh, good, good. So I'm going to share that, and then I'm going to share from the ramp for Landon. So, and of course I'm going to cry, just so you know. So we go to the Dream City Conference, and listen, it was awesome. The worship was wonderful. The teachings were all awesome. And our kids were really pressing in. Do we have the one of Landon? Oh, yeah, we do. So, okay, you see the dude that's really jumping with the blondish hair. Is this the one with Landon? Oh, there's Landon in this one. He's by Nathan. But there's another video of Landon. I don't know if we have it with us. But there's another video of Landon where he's actually literally, he was the first one up by the stage. He was literally right up front. I don't know if we have that one with us or not. But I will tell you, I mean, he was pressing in, and all of our kids were pressing in. And, you know, they were good at bringing the kids up and getting them hype and going, and but I could see he was pressing in to wanting to know God. He was pressing in to wanting to know God. And listen, those of you who know Landon, you know, he's not a man of many words. But when he speaks, you want to listen. Let me just say that. And so I did not know this. None of us knew this. I actually found out from Pastor Don afterwards. But so Landon went home from the Dream City Conference, and his mom, you know, was asking him, what'd you get? How was it? Whatever. And he said, Mom, he said, you know, I went there, and he said, I really just, you know, I just wasn't sure if I really believed, you know? And he was like, God, you know, I want to believe. I need to know that you're real. I just want to know that you're real, you know? So this is how he goes to Dream City, right? And he said he's having this conversation with the Lord, and then out of nowhere, this strange woman that he does not know came up to him and said, hey, God just wanted me to come up and tell you he's real. Only Jesus, you know, and I don't know who felt that, but I feel it every time I say it, and then, so, you know, hello, sealed it, right? And Landon said he never saw the woman again. We don't know if it was an angel. We were there for 3 days, so I don't know if it was an angel or what, but God met him there, and he told his mom, he said, Mom, this is what I'm going to be telling my kids. This is the testimony that I'm going to tell them, that this is how I know God is real. And he's going to carry that through his life into generations. And that is so awesome. That is so awesome. So anyway, thank you, Jesus. So then at the ramp, you could just see him pressing in. There were, I don't know how many times, at least two or three times, that Landon was one of the first ones that, to go up to the altar call, you know? I mean, he just was going. And he was worshiping with hands high. You know, he was just pressing into him. And when we sat in the hotel room on our last day there, just sharing each other's testimonies with each other to encourage each other, you know, Landon said, you know, I just feel closer to God. I just feel like this whole thing has helped me become closer to him. And anyway, thank you, Jesus, for Landon. Amen. Okay, we love you, Landon. Feel better. And Mariela is going to share for Andrea, who actually is in New York. She just left yesterday to go to New York. So we had a few that were flying right out of town immediately. And Mariela was her leader, team lead in their hotel suite. So she got all the scoop on Andrea.
So I don't take it lightly to tell someone's testimony. So I'm just going to try to keep to her words. But I get the privilege, right, to minister to the kids and be a part of what God's doing and see their countenance change and then interview them, which is always awesome. And I had her in my room, so come on. I had Lauren as well. But Andrea, I love you, miss you, I wish you were here. She actually had three encounters, but I'll just give you the very first one, which is set the stage for the entire conference for her. And it involved her pressing in to Jesus, pressing in worship and asking God for more, right? For what she was there for, you know. She wasn't just a participant of it. She was a leader in it, like leading herself into God's heart. So the very first encounter is where she closed her eyes and it was about her soul. It was God touching her heart and healing her. But the way that he did it, he's so good, is that when she closed her eyes, she saw pitch black. She said, dark, complete dark. And we shut every light down, complete darkness. And then she saw Jesus, bright as bright can be in the light right in front of her. And he basically said, it is good. It is good. I'm not going to give you the deepest other parts because that's intimate to her, but those words set the stage for her to receive the next two encounters, and that settled her emotional being, her heart, soul, that it is good, and she just had to hear it from Jesus. Amen.
1, 2, amen, amen. We're trying to cluster our testimony is based on theme, and the next group of guys who are going to come up, JT, Grayson, Audrey, and Javian. Can you just come up and sit on the stage, please? But JT is going to be the first one to talk, so JT can stand next to me real quick. And I'm going to give him the floor, but before I do, I got to say something. Janice and I have been blessed to have JT and Mariela in our lives. I can tell you without a doubt, doing youth without them, these two would not be, it wouldn't be fun. It just would be very hard. And it's hard enough as it is, but not having these two around would be very, and Nathan just joined us. Yeah, I'm sorry. He's so young. Yes. And Nathan too. Sorry, Nathan. But these two have been around since the beginning. You know, actually, JT's been around since the beginning. Mighty came a little later, but it seems like they've been here forever, and we couldn't do this without them. And I want to just honor them in front of you guys and tell you how important they are to us and to you. I also want to tell you, I want to tell you, man, you're going to be an awesome dad. An awesome dad. I was driving the bus a lot, and I got a chance to hear him talk to the kids. Just different ones, get into the word, teaching them how to keep the beat, just different times in different ways. He was just talking to different kids. He was just spreading himself thin. And JT, man, you have a father's heart. You have a father's heart. It's everything you need is right there. And you're going to get an opportunity. You're going to get opportunities to pour and to support and to pour. And your quiver is going to be full. I just wanted to tell you that, okay?
Well, it was the best of times and the worst of times. That's how ministry is. When you're dealing with people, it's always that way. But I love our kids, and I love you, Pastor. Thank you for sending us to the ramp. And we're all grateful for what God did to us. But one of the nights, it was the service actually ended. Like, the whole time it was just worshiping. And the service ended, and we were like, God is still here. We don't want to leave this opportunity where God can affect our lives and make a difference, because that's really the whole reason why we exist, is to encounter God. Like, you could search the whole world and not find those moments, but when God is there, that's where you want to stay. So the service ended, and people were there just continuing to worship. And it was actually in those moments that where you come to a wall and you're like, okay, the service ended, or you come to an obstacle where there's trouble at work or where there's trouble with your family, and you come to that moment and you push forward. You push forward because you know what's on the other side. Because your promise that God gave to you is on the other side. So we pushed forward, and I was worshiping, and I felt freedom like I haven't felt in a long time. Because, I mean, there's nobody here today that's not going through something. None of our youth are free completely of every obstacle out of their life, especially from COVID. I mean, since 2020, everybody's had something to deal with. But when you push forward and you know that God has an appointed promise for you, and you say, God, I'm going to get that promise, and I'm going to experience your freedom, that actually activates your promise to come to you. So what we did in that moment is, God, you're worthy of everything that I have to give. You're worthy of a whole year's wages. You're worthy of a whole lifetime. And one thing that I want to leave with you now is, live your life worthy of the calling that God has called you to. That might be speaking a good word. That might be loving your family, giving grace to those who need it. But Jesus has empowered you, and he's always going to be there with you. I love the demonstration that Gavin gave about the enemy thought he was the strong man coming for you, but Jesus is stronger, and he's coming for you. Even when you're not able to push forward, Jesus is going to push forward for you. Yep.
So the one thing that really got me was, when we were worshiping, like maybe first and second day, was they were like worshiping like really hard, and then like we were really going at it, and I forgot what they said, but there was like something they said about like you can't be free without God in your life. And when I heard them say that, I just like started to break down, and I'm like, I just like started like worshiping and like talking to God and like asking him to change my life, and probably on the second day, someone was ministering, and they were talking about like all sorts of things, but one of the things that they were talking about was, it's hard to explain, but it's like God will free you of all things if you let him. Yes. If you let him in your life, he will free you. And this is where I laid like everything down for God to take from me. I was like struggling with everything, like anxiety and all sorts of stuff, and it was still there, but not as much. Now, when we went to the baptism, this was a whole different experience that I could have never imagined of how it would go. So there was people getting baptized, and then we were like praying for them and like all sorts of things. And when I got to the water, the water was really cold. So, but when I got into the water, like further into it, I started to get really warm. And that's something that I've never experienced before, ever. And when I got underneath the water, all my worries and all my pain and everything I was worrying and like things I didn't even know was happening, it just like felt like it was just gone. This was a sort of miracle I would have never thought of. And yeah, God is a blessing.
So, wow, this is hard. So, before and even during the trip, I was having issues with negative thoughts and stuff. And then even like the first like actual day we were there, I think it was after lunch, I like started going into this, what I call it, a phase? A phase of where I didn't want to talk to anyone. And then we go that night, and I think it was that night where it was just worship. And I refused to tap in. Like, even Mr. Steve and Miss Janice were trying to, and Nathan was even trying to like make me move. And I just like refused to move, refused to like tap in with anything. And then at some point, Mr. Steve brought me closer to the front and then just left me there.
I refuse. We're going to press in. We're going to fight.
He left me there. I'm like, bro, anyways. I still refuse, though. But then there was someone, I don't even remember who it was, on the stage that was like, because they were going through like a whole bunch of things for people to go to the altar and stuff. And then I didn't start moving until this one person was like, raise your hand if you've been struggling with suicidal thoughts. So then I rose my hand, I started crying like a bit, and then Sarah came. And then when I saw Sarah, I started crying even more. And then, but I think she was like the perfect person. And then she started praying, and then she told me that God wanted me to offer him more and lay down everything. So then as soon as she told me that, I like fell to the floor, started bawling my eyes out, and started just like repenting. I started asking him, what can I do to change it? And then after that, I started worshiping like I haven't before. And that's saying a lot, because I went to Passion Camp and everything. And I, like, even that night, we did stay afterwards, because they were like, if you want to stay and worship, you can, while everybody else was leaving. So our youth group stayed, and I did stay and kept worshiping. I kept singing. I kept putting my head down, had my arms out. And then even after that, I worship like I haven't before. So, yeah. Anyways. Wait a minute. No.
So how is this going to affect you, Audrey, moving forward? What's the new Audrey look like?
Well, not one with not self-confidence, if that's, is that, yeah, whatever, yeah.
So, and how about, how are things going to look for you in worship moving forward?
I'm not going to sit in a chair.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
I'm going to worship how I did today and stand up.
Amen. Amen. So I was telling the kids that, listen, when Pastor Don calls people up to the front, it's not just for the grown-ups, you know? It's for everybody. So we're going to be seeing our youth at the altar more in Jesus' name. Good job. Thank you all.
It wasn't even on.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay. So, wow, okay. So, when I first told about the camp and everything, they showed a video of people crying and everything. I'm like, not it. That's not going to be me, right? Probably going to be all the way in the back of my little corner just watching everybody, you know? So, I went to the camp. Like, after that, I had a different mindset. I'm like, I feel there's something missing that I don't have, and I made, like, I want to find what I was missing. Turns out I wasn't missing one thing. I was missing three things. But I found all three of them, and I'm just talking about one of them, and that's forgiveness. So the first night we went there, or people were worshiping, praising, went to the altar, and I was going to go there, and I heard someone say, wait. I'm like, why? Like, because I wanted to go. Like, I want, like, but he said, wait. So I'm like, okay. I didn't really think much of it. I'm like, maybe it's probably just me didn't want to go. Second night, they did a prayer for people that had darker suicidal thoughts, you know, or just, like, not positive, harmful thoughts. I did raise my hand, you know. And I felt like three people lay their arms or hands on me. I know one of them was Sarah. One was a random, one someone behind me, I don't know. And the other person was a random dude, but no idea who he was. After the praying and everything, the guy on my right, the random dude, he's like, did you find what you were missing? I'm like, I stepped a little bit. I'm like, wait, what? And he didn't ask me a second time. He said, he's like, did you find it? And I'm like, yeah. I figured out, so the problem that, everybody gets made fun of, everybody gets bullied, whatever. And I usually don't let that stuff get to me. I usually, like, someone, like, insult just goes, meow. Like, I just let it, like, pass by me. And I thought that was it, that was done. But in reality, it's still behind me, following me. And it wasn't just things that other people did. It's also things that I did that I didn't even realize that I had come to terms with. So God took it upon himself to remove those things from me. So when they went to the altar, like they said, they were like leading up to it. I'm like, no, I'm staying in my corner. And then these people started going, and I felt God was like, "Tatapaya!" Kicks me. And I was one of the first people to the altar. So...
It feels good to get kicked, you know?
I just want you to know that not only was he one of the first was at the altar, he was practically laying on the stage. I mean, him and Sarah were like right on the steps to the stage.
Don't tell them that. And I actually have a scripture that I feel I need to share with you guys about forgiveness. I have it here, but like I accidentally exited out earlier. Oops. Okay. Colossians 3:13. So it says, make allowances for others' faults, including your own, for the Lord or the Father has already forgiven you. So like the way I get it now is that, I don't know, I've been tripping. Like, God already forgave me, and here I am, like, dwelling on it. Like, bro, what are you doing? Like, I already forgave you the second you did it. Like move on. So, yeah, that was one of the three things. Oh, okay. Yeah, that... Yeah.
Wait, let's ask him because I want to ask.
You were one of the ones who was baptized, right?
Oh.
So tell us a little bit, just a little bit about that experience for you.
So immediately, so you asked, like, people who want to be baptized, like, if you feel like you don't want to be baptized, then don't raise your hand. People that want to be baptized, raise your hand. I didn't think twice. I just froze my hand because I felt that I needed this, and I did. I went in. It was freezing cold. I like cold, but, like, that was, like, another level cold. But, like, each time someone, because we had people, like, you saw in the video, it was, like, a row, and, like, two people, like, on each side, they were touching, like, praying, and each time that I passed somebody, it got warmer, and I just felt like it was like less water, like it was easy to move around. And it got to the final person, and the second they dunked my head, I felt like I'm good. Like, that's it. So yeah, baptizing, I feel new. Any thoughts? I regained my self confidence because I used to say, like, I'm awesome. Like, I trying to do something, even something silly, like taking out the trash. My parents tell me, Jamin, take out the trash, and I take out the trash, and I'm like, I'm awesome. And in my mind, I'm like, not really. It's just the trash. But I was able to regain my self confidence and being able to give the same that to others as well.
Amen.
One, two. Okay, thanks, guys. You can sit down. Thank you. But listen, I want to talk about Jamin real quick, and I can say this about a lot of the kids, but I want to tell you that you can sit down. There are things that happened and then has been happening that you know that people's lives are changing, right? And one of the things that I used to always talk about, or that I talk about and I continue to talk about in our youth group is, dude, get in the Word. You know, like, anybody who knows me knows I like the Bible and knows that I will talk about it ad nauseum. Like, I have no problems. Give me a cup of water and I'll hold you hostage for 3 hours. Easily. Okay? However, there's something different when the person that you're speaking to, the one that you're engaging with, is engaging with you. And they're pulling on you and they're drawing from you and saying, like, give me more. I mean, that's like a whole new level, right? And so guys, get in the Word. Get in the Word. Know the Word. This dude, man, is blowing up my phone. He's blowing up my phone, just asking me questions. Like, hey, can you tell me about this? Can you tell me about this? Where would I find that? I mean, this guy is going off. And now listen, there's other youth that are doing this too, but I want to tell you that I know there's a change in Javian. It's not just the outward appearance where, like, he can come up here and speak, but it's behind the scenes where no one sees it. And he's pressing in, and he wants to know more. And I'm telling you, this is the ingredients. This is the beginning of something special that's going to explode. That's an example of it, you know, where no one knows what I'm going after, but I'm going after it. And ultimately, it's going to express itself. It's going to manifest itself to the world. And I'm prophesying that over you, and I'm testifying over you right now that, yes, you're going after the better thing. And God sees it. Amen? Amen. So, Sarah Jean. So the first group of guys that came up here were talking about freedom, how they got freedom. Sarah Jean and Jessica are going to talk about identity.
Hello. Hi. It's been a while since I've been up here like this. First, just like Landon and a few other youth, it definitely didn't start at the ramp. It started in Dream City. And I remember just a couple things from Dream City. There was this one kid who was my age, like 19, preaching. And he was spitting scripture like this, and I was like, it's not even part of his message. He's just pulling it out of his back pocket, and how am I not like this? Like, that's something, it was like a righteous jealousy. I want to be like that. And then just insecurities broken off of me. But I knew leaving Dream City that if I just go home, like, thank God for the ramp. I didn't want to go at first, but after Dream City, I'm like, if I just went home and the ramp wasn't next week, I would have lost all of this. I wouldn't have attempted to go after God harder. And then going into the ramp, my dad had us write in our journal what we were expecting of. And the first thing I wrote was, I need encouragement. And so I had two big God moments. My first one was, there was the first night, and then the next morning was on the next morning. And I was kind of like, yay, Jesus, cool. But then Miss Karen went up, like in the middle of worship. She always would grab the mic and start whatever was God was putting on her heart. She would speak. And she said, I just feel like there's people in here. And one of the things she kept saying, like words of knowledge and stuff about what people needed from God. And I was like, that's not me. That's not me. But then all of a sudden she said, one thing you never have to fear is the fear of rejection from going to God. And my heart started pounding, and that's never something that I knew I was conscious of, that I had a fear of. But my heart started pounding, and she kept talking. I'm like, okay, I guess this is for me, I suppose. And she started singing this hymn, and I'm not going to sing it, but I'll read it to you. Three lines that was like, wow, this is, God was speaking to me. And the first one was, did ever a saint find this friend forsake them? No, not one. No, not one. I can't even read. Or sinner find that he would not take them. No, not one. No, not one. And then, I don't know if this was part of him, but she started singing, there's room at the cross for you. I literally cannot see. Though millions have come, there's still room. Oh, it's part of the hymn. There's still room for one. And I was just like, okay. And then she said, all right, the altar's open. She's like, I'm going to meet you down. She stepped off the stage. I'm going to meet you down here. And if this is for you, if you're saying, God, I want to know the real God. I want to know the real God. Like, come here now. If you ever were fearing a rejection, I just broke that off. If you come down here and meet me and meet him here. And so I was like, okay. So I went down. Like, immediately, I actually got right onto the stage. Me and Javian and Micah were one of the first ones up there. I hit the stage. I start bawling. But this is when my God moment really started. Because the song they started singing was Abba, Abba. I have a father who really loves me. And Abba, which means father in Hebrew, Abba. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. And I feel like a broken record because after every youth trip, I come up here and I'm like, God loves me. God loves me. I don't know. I don't know why that's something I struggle with, but every time it's like, God loves me. And another woman came up right after this and was saying that something she dealt with, but she believes people at the altar were dealing with, which turns out I was one of them, was we had a warped perception of who God really is. And for her and also for me, it was like almost like a performative type of thing. Like, yeah, he's good. But for me personally, it was like, I can't really come to him unless I got all my stuff, all my ducks in a row, all my T's are crossed. Like, all right, I'll come now. I'm ready for you to move in me. And that's just not how God works. He's like, come first and I'll move in you and then we'll move together. That's how God works. So, and then they started singing, He's a Good, Good Father, that song, which never really hit me particularly. But this time it was just like, I was like declaring to my own heart that who God is and who I am, God is a good father and I am loved by him. Oh, I'll say this because it made my mom laugh. Yeah. I was trying to explain to her this part.
I was just going to remind you.
I was explaining this to her, and it was just like he was reaffirming, you know, who he is and who I am and who my identity is. And I was just like, you know, it's like that scene in The Lion King where Simba is running in the wilderness, confused and hurt and angry and running from his past and running from his positional authority, even if he wasn't aware of it. And then Mufasa, his father, is in the heavens, quote unquote, looking down on him. And he's like, remember who you are, like with a big booming voice. And I was like, Mom, that's exactly what happened. So anyway, that's my God moment.
Jessica.
You got this, Jessica. We're all family.
I remember when they asked us, what's something you want to get out of this trip? I just remember writing down on my journal. I wrote down, Lord, just help me to find peace on him. I don't sleep because, I'm always worrying about things and my future and other things, too. And I just, the second day, I think, I remember, I closed my eyes and I just, asked God to, give me peace. I was like, Lord, give me peace. And, I closed my eyes and I felt him lifting me up and saying, don't worry, I have a future for you.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome.
I love you.
So, now she has more to share.
There you go.
The other thing, I was I was worshiping, and I didn't really feel like I was worshiping like I should be doing, giving all to him. And I just remember Mariela coming up to me and saying, do you want to worship more? And I was like, yes, I do. And I just remember her praying over me and praying, and I started speaking tongues. And I just felt like a whole new person, even though I didn't get baptized. I just feel renewed.
Amen. So I don't know if everybody caught that, but she got baptized in the Holy Spirit that night and got her prayer language and didn't even really know what was happening. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Awesome. That's awesome. You guys are good.
One, two.
Good job, girls.
Good job, guys. Good job, guys. Sarah and I talked about Jessica one day. We were talking about youth and whatever, and we're like, man, we love Jessica. Yeah. Jessica is one of those people, I don't know if you guys can relate to this, but I'll just say it. There are some people that you run into and you're like, wow, we're family. There's something about this person that is instantly I'm drawn to. And Sarah and I were talking and we're like, well, who's the person that you would describe like that? And we both said Jessica. So we love you. You're very dear to our heart, Jessica. Very, very dear. And what you receive, no small thing, is huge. It is huge. Okay, so we're going to have Nathan, Angel, and Micah come up in that order. But Sarah Jean, before Micah, after Angel, play Lauren's video, okay? So Nathan, Angel, and Micah. Now, this is like a little shift because now we're bringing this in. We're bringing this to a close because at the end, I'm going to tie all this together for you and make you understand the overarching takeaway from the ramp, okay? That not just for us, but for you also. But this actually takes us into that mode right now because they're going to talk about, for lack of a better word, dullness, almost like a numbness in God, right? And they're going to speak to it, and we'll wrap it up later, okay?
Hello.
Hi.
Okay. We're talking about dullness. And I don't know if you caught that, but I was thinking about it today during worship. How should I start this? Okay, I'm going to start with Dream City as well because, Dream City was awesome, man. And it really sowed the ground for great seeds to be planted at the ramp. It really did. I don't think it would have hit the same if we didn't go to the Dream City. And one of the big points of Dream City, the last, I mean, I went to the altar every night at Dream City for different things, just wanting more of God and seeing the people that they had. They had young people there. I mean, this is a youth conference. They had young people speaking who are only like, you know, the age of Carrie and Missy-ish, you know, a little older, younger, give or take a few years, which is right around where I am. And these people are on fire for God and like just... Like Sarah said, a righteous jealousy. Like, I want to be like that. You know, I desire to walk into a room and just, like, just go crazy because God is God, you know? And I know who he is, and I can share that with other people. And that's something that I wanted. And one of the preachers who was there, like Sarah said, was a 19-year-old kid from California who is younger than me. I'm 20. And... He was talking specifically about loving God and not just loving the idea of God, loving the causes of God, or, you know, loving what he did for me only, but being in love with God. Everything else comes after being in love with God. If you're not in love with God, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's all works. You know, even if you have faith in him, if you don't love him, what's the chapter, the love chapter? I don't even know where it is. Corinthians 13. I mean, the guy even said this. It's like, we have a step-by-step manual, like literally black and white, literally, of what it means, what love is and how it affects us. And if we're not living in love, Corinthians 13. So I went into the ramp really like, God, I need to love you more. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know how I'm going to get there, but that's what I need. That's what I wanted. That's what I was expecting and believing him for. So when we get to the ramp, on the first night of the ramp, when we get there, as everyone said, you know, disheveled, we're coming in late, whatever, worship was great, the 3 seconds we got of it. And then they jump right into the word, and the word was literally amazing. I mean, the preaching was so good and so deep. But one of the things he was talking about, like the very last thing he was talking about, was being pierced by God, pierced by God's love. I'm not going to go into all the details because there's so much to talk about in the sermon, but... This man in the Bible, this man in the Old Testament was, the name really meant pierced by God. Someone who was wounded, his heart was wounded by God's love and his presence, that he didn't want to do anything that would jeopardize his relationship with God. That to the point where he commanded his sons and, you know, his whole clan that, you know, he gave him two commandments. Don't drink anything and don't... stay rooted in one place for very long. This is the Rechabites, if you know, you know. And because we didn't know. But he was so pierced and touched by God that he made a covenant with his offspring. Like, listen, we have to do something different. We have to be different. We have to live differently in order to stay in communion with God and stay right with God. And he also talked about bond servants who, you know, after a certain period of time, you let go of your servants and the servant can either leave and hit the dash, or he can stay out of love for the master. He can stay and get pierced in the ear. And that was a form of servitude, being a bond servant. I believe that's the right word I'm using. A bond servant to God. To their master. And he was saying that we are called to be like that. He has literally set us free on the cross. He set us free. He did everything possibly he could have done to set us free. He spared no expense. And now it's our job to reflect that love back on him and say, God, I want to serve you. And that night he called up an altar call. And I just went up there, I was on the stage, I touched the stage, the steps on the stage, and I was just like, God, pierce my heart, pierce my heart, pierce my heart. I can't do this. I can't do Christianity without you piercing my heart. It's not going to work. It's not going to mean anything if I don't love you completely and fully, God. It's not going to mean anything. I need your love. I need to feel it. I need to give it to you and give it back to you. Expand my capacity to love you more, God. And as I was pouring out, one of the ministry team, the prayer team they had, came up to me, and he was just like, you know, just started prophesying into me, not prophesying, praying over me, but just declaring things that he was hearing God was saying over me. I'm not going to get into details, but you know, like God, he called you a man of purity. He called you a man of righteousness. He called you a son. He adopted you. You need to stand in the adopted spirit and that authority, just speaking life into me. And I thank God for it. And I really feel like I got to experience his love over this trip. And I didn't even talk about dullness. I will talk about that now. I felt dull. We all talk about the Holy Spirit convicting you and taps you on the shoulder, tapping your heart. And after a certain point, it's not even just about sin, but it's just about not being in communication with him, not having your mind on him. And not responding to his call to be with him. And then after a while, you just, you know, that tapping, just, you don't feel that anymore. It becomes dull. And that was something that, you know, I feel like a lot of us was experiencing going into this trip, especially me. And I was like, I didn't even know it until they started talking about it. I'm like, I need to feel your presence, God. And this wraps into the piercing of my heart. And one of the things they talked about, which Michael will talk about more deeply, was idols, which I sang about today. And that there was things that we had to lay down in order to press in to that, to break that that dullness off of us, and things that we had to just let go of. And I can tell you that a lot of people at that conference, their phones do not look exactly the same as when they walked in. I'm telling you, there's things that accounts had to be deleted, you know, TikTok had to go, Pinterest had to go, Funimation had to hit the dash. There's just things that had to go, and we were all convicted, and we just were shedding those things out of our lives. And I still feel like there's more that I need to get from God. There's more love that I need to feel from him. There's more presence that I'm still fighting to feel it more. I'm not 100% there yet, and I'm still fighting with it, and I hope you guys will fight with me when I'm on the stage worshiping God, because it's a battle that we have to keep fighting, that I'm realizing that it's not something that just clicks all the time. It's more, it pleases God more when we come and we fight for loving him. We fight for it. And that's what I'm in pursuit of right now.
All right. Hello. So I went to the ramp, and I've been to a good amount of conferences. Whenever I go, I always pray for what I want. And I asked God, I was like, Lord, please, let me love you more. Let me praise better, right? And this is the first thing I'm going to say. That's exactly what the conference was about. And the first day, right, this stuck with me. The preacher, he said, be careful what you put your affection on. Whatever you love, like, be careful, because if you put your affection on, for example, your children more than God, you're going to want to, like, do stuff for your children more than God. And the second day, it was about, we didn't really, like, they didn't minister that much. It was just all about praise and worship. And that day, I was jumping. I put my hands up. I was screaming, everything. The next day, my throat was sore. And I thank God for that, that he let me, like, worship him more. And there was something that Miss Karen said that I realized after. She pointed at someone and she was like, you know, this conference is for you. And I was like, I took it for myself, and I was like, wow, God brought all these people, all these ministers, just for me, for one person. And that was crazy. And I didn't say this before in the hotel, but when I was on the second day, when I was jumping, when I was doing all this stuff, I felt like the Lord delivered me. because there was a part, Micah knows this, where I felt like a ball in my throat. Like, of course it wasn't a ball there, but it was like I couldn't talk. I was worshiping, and I was like, I was slurring my words. I was like, and I almost like I felt like I threw it up. Like, it was just cough, like spit. And now I feel the freedom, and whenever I feel some type of way, like whenever I want to like go back to my video games or do, like, God's asking me to do something and I feel like going back to my video games, now what I do is I get my phone, I get on the Bible app, and I just start playing the Bible.
Hi, my name is Lauren Hernandez, and this is my testimony. So I arrived to the ramp a little later than everyone else because I was on a family trip that conflicted, but my parents dropped me off there, and it was just pouring. Like, couldn't see in front of you, pouring type rain. So I kind of had a feeling that Satan was trying to keep me from this conference. But I soon got there, and as I walked in the doors, Mr. Steve came and got me. We did what we had to do when we walked in. And as we walked in, you know, I came and I got to the spot where all of the other youth were, and I started trying to press into worship. And a few of the littles came and hugged me, and then, you know, I'm still trying to press into worship and I'm not connecting. So I took my bag off, and I figured it was my bag. It was prohibiting me from moving around and worshiping. So I took it off and I stuck it under the seat Mariella was sitting. And then Mariella caught my eyes. And she just wrapped me in this hug. And as I was in this hug, all I could do was sob. So I started crying. And the Miss Janice came, and I'm still crying. But I got this sort of, like, freedom off of it. And I could tell this was going to be, like, a very powerful conference. So the next day came, and we got there a little late. So we didn't get as, like, super close seats. We had seats kind of in the back, and that was fine by me. So worship came, and it was really good worship. I was just struggling to press in and really get the really good worship. So worship came and left, and I was struggling to get pressed in. But then the teaching came on, and the teaching was, God is not going to be your side chick. Like, idols cannot be the number one in your life. God refuses to be a side chick. So, you know, it came to the point where they were like, okay, you need to identify the idols in your life. So we all started repenting for what our idols were. And, you know, I'm on my knees trying to figure out what my idol is, and I was seriously struggling. But then one of the pastors came on the mic and was like, there is somebody here whose idol is pain, and they've let that pain take a hold in their life that's separating them from God. And they kind of happen to be in the back. In better words, it's just how I remember it. And that was me. And I realized pain was my idol. So then I started repenting for that, and I'm crying. And they came on the mic, and we were supposed to do baptisms later today, but due to it being rainy and stuff, you had to be baptized for the right reason. And after pushing it off for so much time, I was like, I need to be baptized. Like, this is me. I need to go get baptized. So as I was getting, you know, we got to the creek, and it was hot, but not like a cool, refreshing hot. Like, it was a hot, sweaty, like, sticking to you hot. And so, you know, they warned us that the water was going to be cold, and we were like, okay, the water is going to be cold. But the main point was, don't let it distract you from what you're doing here today. So I was in the front of the line of our group, and we got there, and I'm the first into the water, and it was really, really cold. But we're going down, and these people are touching you, and they're saying, never the same, never the same, never the same. And then as I get to the people who would eventually dunk me into the water, they just start praying over me, and once again, I am sobbing my eyes out. And after sobbing my eyes out, they dunk me in the water, and I come up, and it was this hot, like, sticky type feeling was replaced with this, like, warmth, like almost like a hug type like warmth. So I'm walking. Everyone beside me has come out of the water and is crying. I'm like, I'm not going to cry. But I'm walking, and I don't even make it halfway to the rest of where our group is, and then I start crying, and tears are coming down my eyes, and Miss Janice is holding me, and the tears are coming down my eyes, and God is saying, you're free. And he kept telling me, you're free, you're free, you're free, like there's nothing else holding you back, you're free.
Hello. Gonna come in handy. So I think for me, this starts also at Dream City with a lot of other people. And I was at Dream City and everyone was worshiping. They had like a really good worship team. The singers were all really good at singing, and it was just, the music was just so good. And I looked to my left, I looked to my right, and there's people, Jesus, you know, there's people like falling on their face, crying and stuff. And I'm like, oh my goodness, like the presence of God must be here. Like, this is so cool. Well, that's important because I was standing there, you know, doing my little thing or whatever, singing the song. And I was just waiting. I was like, yes, you know, the worship is so good. I can't wait to like, you know, tap into Jesus, you know, and feel him. And when I was doing that, I was slowly realizing, I was, you know, thank you, Jesus, you know, whatever the song was, right? I open my eyes, and I see everyone doing their thing, and like, worshiping, and really, like, honoring God, and, like, making it all about Jesus. And I was like, I don't understand. I don't, like, everyone seems to be pressing into God, but I don't feel him. I don't feel the presence. I don't feel, like the conviction or anything. I felt like just a person in a room full of other people worshiping, but I wasn't able to reach God. It was like there was a blockade in between. I couldn't get to God. And then I started thinking, and I was like, when was the last time that I really, truly experienced God? Like, I was standing there and I was like, for a really long time, I'm on the worship team. I sing on Sundays. You know, I go to youth. I go to church. And how is it that I cannot feel God? Anyway, so that's like the precursor to the trip. That's the precursor. I was at Dream City, and it just occurred to me that God was not. Like, I couldn't feel him. Okay, I think everyone gets the message. So we go, we're on the bus, or I was in the car when we were driving up to the ramp, and my dad told everyone, you know, oh, journal down what you want to get out of the trip. So I put out my phone. I didn't use my journal, I'm sorry. But I used my phone, and one of the most important things that I wrote was, I want to experience God, but, like, the real experience of God. I don't want to, like, have a little, I sing the song at church type of experience. I wanted God to come and just completely overflow me, flood me with his presence. And that was like my main goal to get out of the trip, right? So then we go on the first day, we get there. Like everyone said, we got there late, but it wasn't that big of a deal. And the worship was going. So, you know, I got in there, I started doing my Dream City little, yes, God. Mm-hmm. And I still wasn't feeling God. I'm like, it's okay, we just got here. Like, we have 3 whole days. Like, it's okay. And then there's a teaching, and it was a really good teaching. I took a lot of notes in the teaching. And then there's an altar call at the end. There was more worship. There's an altar call. And I went up to the altar call, and I was like, I was walking up. I was like, yes, finally, I'm going to get my Jesus on. Finally going to experience God the way I've been wanting to experience him, the way everyone else seems to be experiencing him. And I was on my knees, because that's where everyone else was, right? And I was, like, just praying in the spirit, and I just asking God, like, please make yourself real to me. Like, fill me up with this, with your spirit that I know. Like, I know this is real. I obviously, people here are experiencing God, so I want to experience God too. And when I was on my knees, I didn't feel the presence of God. He didn't fulfill me the way that I wanted to be fulfilled. And I was like, I was really sad about it. And I was like, I was for a moment there, I was like, is this even real? Like, I just did all this. I've been going to church my whole life. And, like, it all makes sense, but how am I here on my knees? Like, who even does that? Who gets on their knees? Like, and I'm praying, and, like, why am I not feeling God? And it got to the point, like, I was, like, spiraling at the altar. I was like, oh, my goodness. I was like, if I don't feel God at the end of this trip, then it's over. I was like, if God does not touch me, I'm leaving. I'm not doing this anymore. Okay, day two. We get to day two. We go in the morning. There's worship. And I'm like, I'm really, this time, that day, I was trying. I was like raising my hands. And part of the gist of what, during the worship, Karen came onto the stage, and she was like, you know, we're not just here singing the song. Like, these lyrics have meanings. And, you know, like, you need to, like, shout out to Jesus. You know, everything that you do in this room when we're worshiping shouldn't be just, like, to join the collective. To make it like, she said, like, this isn't a high school pep rally, okay? We're not just, like, you know, Jesus. Like, everything that we're doing needs to be bringing glory to God. It needs to be for God, not just to, for show, for the, just to, because, you know, I'm worshiping, so I have to raise my hands, right? So I really was pressing in, and, like, I was, like, shouting out to Jesus, which is something I don't usually do, so that was, like, strange for me, right? I was going out of my comfort zone, trying new things, because I was, like, I really wanted to believe that this is real. And there was another altar call. I went, and I still didn't feel Jesus. And I was like, goodness gracious, like, still? It's day two, like, there's only one more day left, like, What are these games? Like, come on. And then the third day comes, right? Third day comes, and it's like, it was the third day. I was determined. I was like, today's the day, or it's not the day, but today's the day, right? So then in the morning, the way, there's three sessions every day. There's like a morning session, then when we have lunch, then there's like a second session, we have dinner, and then there's a third session. So it was Jesus all day, morning to like, till you fall asleep, right? So today, it's the morning, we go to the morning session, and I don't remember what led up to this, but eventually they started speaking about idols and how, you know, like Lauren said, God isn't going to be your side chick. God is not going to tolerate a piece of your heart. He wants the whole thing, or it's either you want all Jesus inside of you or you don't want all Jesus inside of you. You can't be like, oh, well, you know, a little bit of Xbox, a little bit of Jesus down here, you know, every once in a while, right? So there's another altar call, and I went up because I was like, I'm going to go to every single altar call because I'm not going to, like, I had to do everything that I possibly could have done to reach Jesus, because if I didn't, then, you know what I'm trying to say? Like, I just had to do everything I possibly could. So we got up to the altar call. I'm on my knees or whatever, because every time there's an altar call, everyone was on their knees. And I'm just praying. I'm like, God, please show me anything that's inside of me, any idols that I have, reveal them to me. And then all of a sudden, that's when they started coming. It was like all these things. I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, I didn't, things that I wouldn't have even thought to realize, there was things that I was putting over God. Like, specifically, this is one I thought was funny that God, that pointed out. I'm like, really, God? And he was like, you focus more during worship on, you know, like hitting the harmonies or whatever than actually like worshiping me. Like, you're focusing more on the music and how nice it sounds than worshiping me. And just things like that, like little things, but all these little things kept piling up, and there was no space inside of me for God. And I was like, oh my goodness, I gotta get rid of these things. And I was praying, I'm like, God, take them away from me, take them away from me. And they're singing this really good song, and it was like, come and remove the idols, everything that is not holy, my heart's an altar for your fire. And they had us like smashing the idols, to symbolize smashing the idols. We're smashing them. And every time I did that, I just could feel myself getting closer to God. It was like the wall was fading. And I was like, oh my God, you're here. Yes. And then right after that, after I laid out on the idols And then right after that was the baptisms. And she, when I say she, I'm talking about Karen. And she was like, you know, we're only doing baptisms for people who've never been baptized before. I was like, what? What are you talking about? But then she was like, and people who want to seriously rededicate their life to Jesus. I'm like, okay, that's me. That's me. So we get to the creek. It was a nice creek. And we're, I don't know, that's not important. But I was standing in line, and I was praying in tongues. And I was like, it was like I could, I was starting to feel God. And it was almost like, if someone trapped you in like a box with no windows. And then one day you wake up and one of the walls is missing. You can see the outside world. And that was like me looking at the water. I was like, oh my goodness, I can finally see. God is right in front of me. I was like, oh yes. And I get in the water and immediately I'm just crying because I'm like, yes, finally, I knew it. You know, he's real, he's here. He's going to wreck me the way I've been asking him to this whole time. And we were walking around, and I don't know if Sarah can pull up the picture of the water, but they had us walking in between people, and they were all like touch you as you're walking between and pray for you. And then eventually like they stopped me from walking, so I was stuck in between these two people, and they're like praying, declaring things over me. And I was like, yes, receiving it. There are people in front of me, people behind me. And I thought that we were gonna like get to somebody, I don't know, maybe Miss Karen or somebody, and they were going to baptize us. But then all of a sudden, I hear the words out of nowhere, like, in the name of the Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, I was under the water. I was like, huh? I wasn't ready for this. But then when I went under the water and I came out, I was in shock. I was not prepared. But then all of a sudden, I was just overflowing. I was filled. It was like electricity in my body. And I was like hysterically laughing the entire time out of the water. It looked like I was crying in the video. I was laughing. Those were laughs. And I just felt like so much Jesus inside of me. And I was like, thank you, God, for finally coming to me. Thank you for finally meeting me. But then he said, Micah, I was here the whole time. Thank you for finally removing all this out of your life so that there can be room for me to take over. And I was like, yeah. Okay. There's more. So after the baptism, I'm thinking, oh, Jesus. I was like, yes, 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 finally. I was pumped up. And then we go back to the ramp for the final session of the entire conference, right? And they have a dance team there called The Chosen, right? And they were dancing. They had danced the night before, but when I saw them dance, I was like, yeah, you know, that's cool. Get into it. But today, or the day after the baptism, or the day of, but like, I saw them after the baptism. And then I was able to see how God was trying to like send messages to us through their movements. They weren't just moving. God was speaking to us through them. And there's this one dance, and it was like, there's this guy, and there's guys behind him, and they were like behind cages or like bars. And then the one guy, God sets him free, and they remove the bars. And then he goes around, and he's like removing everyone else's bars, and they're all dancing. And the song, it was like the lyrics were like yelling at Pharaoh. It's like, let my people go, let my people go. And it was just, I was like, I'm the first guy. God just took my bars away, and now I need to remove people's bars. I need to go tell them about Jesus. Like, this is ridiculous. How am I going around living my life and there's no Jesus in it? I'm not telling anyone about Jesus. I'm not even living for Jesus. And I was just like, God was just, he's like, Micah, now you see the dance, you better go live your life for me. I was like, yes, yes. And then the next dance after that, the song, it was called like Worth It All. I think that's what the song was called. And I wish that we could play it, but I don't think they have it. But basically, it started off with Jesus dying on the cross and like crucified him. And then he had like one of these right around his neck, and it fell when he was being crucified. And then somebody else picked it up, and it was like doing different stories of martyrs throughout the Bible and like how, through history. Well, it was specifically Bible times though. And like, I think it was John. I'm sorry if it's not John. Please forgive me. But he was like being stoned to death. And then even in the midst of being stoned, he was like, I see Jesus. He's like, I see Jesus. Even when they're killing him, he was like, I don't care. Jesus is there. And he had just picked up the thing, and then he died. And then when he died, somebody else picked up the thing. And it just it kept happening. Like, people were dying for Jesus, and then someone else would pick it up. And then it got down to, like, just us, like, people like us. That's what they were trying to symbolize, and they picked it up. And it was just, like, God was showing me, like, Micah, this has been passed down. Like, my purpose for everyone, for you, Micah, you need to be living for me, and you need to be ready to die for me. Like, you need to bring people to me. Everything is about me. Jesus, everything's about Jesus, right? At the very end, like, everyone was dressed in, like, white robes, and they walked up. And they're holding the ribbons, right, or the sashes is what they called them, and they're, like, challenging us, like, so who's going to be the next person to come take the thing? And then I started running up, I went up, I got one, and at that moment, they're playing music, and I was finally able to worship God the way that I was supposed to be worshiping him the whole time. Finally, I was like, yes. Yes, you saw me on my knees today. I was like, God is real. He's real to me. And everything that I want to do is to glorify him. Everything. Anyway, the moral of the story is, if you were in a similar position to me, where you know God is real, because it doesn't make sense for him not to be real, let's be honest. And you you can't experience him the way that you know that God is calling you to experience him. And you're not walking in the light that he wants you to walk in. Maybe look inside. And are you leaving room for him? Look and see if you're leaving room for him and lay it down. Because he wants you. He does. He does. And that's my thing. Oh, I'm staying.
So I'm going to use Micah. We're going to take the opportunity now because I feel like it's necessary. So everyone close your eyes. And this is not just for the youth. This is for all generations. And I feel that this is the perfect time. Micah's a representation that he laid down some idols, some that he didn't even know that he had, some things that were in front of him that are not allowing him freedom to worship God. And if you notice the theme across the board, it was decisions that was made that we each have to make. Any testimony that hit your heart, you're going to receive it too. I just have a feeling that God's going to do something for each and every one of you now. So Lord, we just thank you for your presence. We thank you that you are worth it. You are holy God. And Lord, right now, with all the testimonies, with all the hearts rended in front of us, Lord, we ask you to look inside of our hearts. We surrender our hearts. Open it up, Lord. We open our hearts and we step forward into you, God. We don't want anything, any idol in us that is holding us back from true worship and praise unto you, God. All the glory that you deserve and all the honor. We want the freedom that they receive. We want the healing they receive. We want the love for you that they receive, Lord. And this is our time. So we say yes, Lord. So I know God is highlighting to each and every one of us an idol or something that's holding us back. And so, Lord, I just thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus, for removing. Lord, we lay them down now. We make a decision now because we want more of you. You're worth it all, Lord. You're worth it all. You're worth it all. You're worth it all. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we get, like they've said, we get out of our comfort zone right now, Lord. Lord, we recognize that chairs can be comfortable. And so, Lord, right now, we get out of our chairs. Lord, the chairs of our comfort, God, in our hearts and in our minds and in our bodies, God. And we press into you and into worshiping you, Jesus, with everything within you because you're worth it. Because you're worth it. Because you're worth it, Lord. You're worth it. And it doesn't matter what we feel because our emotions don't have a vote. You heard it, Lord. You heard it that we had to press in.
We had to press in order. We had to forget everything, Lord. We press in because you're worth it. Just because you're God. They said it because just because you're real, because you are God. It doesn't matter what we feel right now. It doesn't matter who's to our left, who's to our right. The key is to be like Stephen. You are worth it all, no matter what happens to me, Lord. You are worth it all. All honor, all glory and worship. It doesn't matter our circumstances, our situations, our lacks, or whatever, Lord. Because you're always there meeting us. Because you're worthy of it all. So we step forward into you, Jesus. We make a decision to come. This is the church at large. This is the church at large, Lord. We make a decision to say yes. Yes, Lord, we're here. And we're meeting with you right now, God. And we thank you, Lord, that you've always been there. We thank you, Lord, that you've never left us. We thank you, Lord, that you never leave us. We thank you for this church, God, that believes in pressing in our pastor. We thank you for our pastor that stands here as proof of desiring you, Jesus, and pressing in. And so we press in with these youth. We press in together as a family because we want you, Jesus, to move in our hearts, to move in our midst, to move in this generation that involves all ages. And Lord, to move in our cities, to move in our communities, to move in our land and our nation, Lord. And we say yes to the call, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
So listen, if Pastor Don is okay with this, I think our kids have something to impart. So can you guys do me a favor and stand up here for a second? All you guys, everybody went to the trip. So I want to share something real quick, because we're coming to a close right here. There were two major takeaways from this event. Spread out, guys. Come on. Spread out. We got the whole stage. Come on. Keep it moving. Keep it moving. Spread out. Spread out. Spread out. Spread out. Two major things, right? One was the idolatry, which you just heard, which is a big thing. The other thing was worship. And I need you to consider something for a second. Just consider this. When the Jews came out of Egypt and they were freed, they had to go through the desert, and then the enemy was hot on their heels. God split the Red Sea. They had to go through it. Their enemies chased them down into the Red Sea, on their heels, chopping at their heels. Jews get out on the other side, and God comes crashing down. He lets the sea crash into the enemies, and all the enemies died. Dead. And now they were free to worship him. And I challenge you to go back and read the scripture. Go back and read the type of worship that they had after God saved them and rescued them and freed them. Go read it, please. It was reckless. It was abandonment. It was all about him. But they couldn't get to that place of freedom, of reckless worship, until they were able to kill off their enemies, kill off the things that were holding them down. When we get to heaven, when all this earth passes away and it's actually done, this earth as we know it is no longer, and this wrestle that we have, this daily wrestle with the enemy, was no longer existent, and the enemy gets thrown into the pit, what do you think is going to look like in heaven? Do you think it's going to be like, oh, wow, huh, the streets are gold? You think that's what it's going to be? You think that your emotions are going to just be like, oh, this is cool? Or you think you're going to get crazy, wow, jumping up and down and like, yes, Lord, oh my goodness, you saved me, you rescued me. How do you think it's going to be? It's not going to be tamed, I promise you. And when we were at the ramp, we saw a glimpse of it. We saw a picture of it. These guys were worshiping and worshiping and worshiping. And if no one was moving, they kept worshiping and worshiping. I'm talking about hours of worship. It was crazy. Everything. They put everything into it. Every sweat, every step, every clap, everything went into worshiping God. I promise you that's how it's going to be in heaven when it all comes down. When there's nothing around except for God, we, those who love him, will be crazy for him. We will recognize exactly what it was that he saved us from, and we will give it all to him. But my question to you is, are you going to wait for then? Are you going to wait for heaven to worship him? Lay it down now. That's what these kids experience. They experience that, hold on a second. I let this get in the way. I let this get in the way. I let that get in the way. As something as simple as hitting the right chords, I let get in the way of truly worshiping my God. None of that is worth it. None of that is worth it. So, here's an opportunity. Just like they had an opportunity. Here's an opportunity for you to come to the altar and lay down whatever it is. And trust me, I don't care. They don't care. The only one that cares is him. He's the only one that cares. Because he has always been there. And he just wants to draw you in. He just wants to have a love fest with you. So, worship team, Nathan, take over. This is how it goes. Just walk up to anybody and say, I lay it down. They'll say a prayer with you, and we keep it moving. This is your opportunity. Now listen, don't do it for me. Don't do it for them. Don't do it for show. If you got nothing to lay down, sit in your seat. I got no problems with that. But if you want to press in, if you see this as an opportunity, if you feel that beat in your heart like, yes, I understand, I recognize now, then take this opportunity. Amen?
Thank you for joining us today at Liberty Life Center. We hope you were challenged and encouraged by today's message. Visit us online at libertylifecenter.org, where we have links to other archived messages and even a place to give. Be sure to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/libertylifecenter. We hope you'll join us again next week. In the meantime, embrace, display, and share God's love.